After living in the remote wilderness for a long time, the remote wilderness of Kentucky, all of his life, actually, this old guy had reached a place where he decided it was time to visit the big city. So in one of the stories, he picks up a mirror. He looks at it. And he didn't have any idea what it was. But he remarked, "How about that? Right here in this store, in this big city, there's a picture of my daddy." So he went ahead and bought the picture. Because when he'd look in it, he saw his daddy. But on the way home, he remembered that his wife, Lizzie, didn't like his father much. So he decided he better hang it up in the barn. And so every morning, before leaving for the fields, he went on into the barn and he'd take a look at his picture of his daddy in his little mirror. Lizzie began to get suspicious of her husband. She was undoubtedly upset because he kept making so many of these trips to the barn, and she couldn't figure out why. So one day after the husband left, she searched the barn, she found the mirror. As she looked into that mirror, she fumed. "So that's the ugly lady my husband's been running around with." As we approach the morning message, let's turn to Acts chapter 18. The Bible holds before us a mirror. Holds before us a mirror of truth. And when we look into it long enough, we see ourselves and our need for change. How many of you can agree with me that sin in our lives is ugly? It's not just homely. It's not just a little tainted. It's ugly. And what we want to do when we look into the mirror of God's Word is see Jesus, don't we? Don't we want to see Jesus? When I look into the Bible, when I look into God's Word, I hope to see Jesus looking back at me as my life becomes transformed into being more like Him. And I think that's what we need to keep in mind as we go through the Scriptures this morning. There are some things in this morning's message that confront me that probably will confront you. Before I even preach these things, you need to know that as your pastor, I love you. So this message is not designed to reach out and confront you, but to try to do my best to bring the Scriptures to you in integrity. And as we look at how we conduct ourselves as a church, we must have enough integrity to go to the Word of God and say, "Lord, how does my life measure up?" How many want to live according to the Word of God? Amen. I want to look into that Word and see Jesus and see Him looking back at me. I want my life transformed into your image, Jesus. It doesn't matter what churchianity has done for eons, does it? What matters is what Christianity is according to His Word. Isn't that true? You're all real loud preaching at me, aren't you, this morning? Say amen, y'all.
Amen.
Look at each other, say amen, y'all.
Amen.
All right. We have been with Paul in Corinth. Well, we'll go up here. It's easier. That's why he gave me the stick. Anyway, we'll go with Paul to Corinth, and frankly, we've been there for the last 2 weeks. Came from Athens, dejected, discouraged, and yet dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And in Corinth, as he waited upon the Lord for his team to arrive, there was a longing in Paul's heart to preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And God worked through Paul and brought him some new team members. Remember last week we talked about Aquilos and Priscilla. Remember? Aquila and Priscilla. But it's really pronounced Aquilos and Priscilla. Joined themselves to him as tent makers, and they gave their lives to the Lord and became absolutely invaluable to the apostle as he labored in Corinth. The Bible tells us that Paul was there for a year and a half as he found a responsive people. But we talked last week about not remembering, or remembering rather, that trouble does not mean God's gone from our lives. Amen? Y'all remember that? Anybody have any trouble this week? Okay, don't have to raise your hands because you didn't. Nevertheless, there's trouble in our lives, and some of them this week. And that didn't necessarily mean that God left overnight. There's sometimes trouble that occurs to transform us, to bring us to Christ, to make us more like Him, to show us our neediness for Christ. There's two ways to respond to trouble. You can either get bitter, or you can get better. The bitter way is to go gather a crowd, complain about your brother, complain about your sister. The better way is to say, Jesus, what are you saying to my life? What is it you want from me? How can I respond? How many in this room, I feel like playing the guitar now. You gave me a new prop, buddy. I love it. How many in this room, I really do, I'm going to turn around, I'm going to see a show of hands. How many in this room know you've changed for all of time and eternity and you're perfect now? There's no more change left in your life. Let me see your show of hands. Come on. Okay, Tony, you can come on up and finish the message. How many of you know there's room left in our lives for growth? Okay, come on, let me see your show of hands. That one I should see a lot of hands. Feet, I can't put them all up. All right, I know as your pastor that I got change in room. I got growing room. You can look at me this morning and say, yeah, we know that too. All right? I got changing room. I'm not going to be a perfect pastor to you, but I'm called by responsibility to help lead, guide, mentor, shepherd, father. Pastor Sherry's a mother in the Lord. Pastor Carl's a good man in God and an apostolic ministry. God has given ministry to help guide and lead and lay foundations and counsel and minister. But does that mean we're perfect? And so if you expect me to be perfect this morning, you could bring your bazooka and blow a hole in me if you want. No? No, no bazookas? Oh, good, I'm in the right crowd. You see, being a pastor isn't based on being perfect. It's based on the calling of God. Being a sheep and a shepherd is not based on being perfect. It's based on walking in the grace of God. But there are sometimes, as your leaders in the body of Christ, God gives different eyes to shepherds than He gives to sheep. God gives different shepherd eyes and heart than He always necessarily gives to sheep. That's why some of the responsibility that I have is to find out what is God saying to the church to lead and to guide. Now, that could be taken and be abused. Sure. Have there ever been any churches where that was abused? Well, of course. Have there ever been any churches where sheep have abused? Sure. That's why we cover one another in love. And that's why we go to each other when there are problems in the Spirit. Right? If you got a problem with me this morning, don't stand up and shout it out now, but you can come see me afterwards. I got a problem with you, buddy. Well, good for you. Love you. Get down. No. But we'll talk. We'll talk. Can we talk? You bet. But let's take a look at what the Scriptures say this morning. Let's take a look at some strategies of living and some strategies of life. And if you find yourself in the Word of God in need for repentance, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Thank God when you go to church and you're not just patted on the head, but you're urged and encouraged to change to be more like Jesus. Yes, Pastor Kev, preach that message. Amen. Yes. But that's what it's all about. So we can keep growing, keep changing. All right, how does a ministry unfold? As we take a look at Corinth's Crusades, Part 3. We are in Acts Alive as a series. This is the 53rd lesson in Acts Alive. But we are in Corinth's Crusade, Part 3. Acts 18, verses 4 through 6. And he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled. That's a strong word, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Good. Good. That's a strong word. Compelled. It means propelled, impelled, pushed forward by the Spirit. And he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed him, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am what? Clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." First point of the message is Paul tries with the people who don't want him. Paul always, as he is wont to do, as you know, no matter what community he goes to, he goes to the synagogues. He reasons. He argues. He disputes. He tries to show the Jews that Jesus is the Christ because he loves the Jews. Man, you read Romans and you read Paul's heart. He would be cut off if he could be from Christ so the Jews could be saved. Christ came from the Jews. It was from out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, that Christ came. And so he goes to the synagogues. He has a grave concern for the Jews. Folks, as Ken said this morning, I believe more than ever we need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to be praying for the Jews. When Hamas stands up and they refuse to renounce their perspective on the total annihilation of Israel, you have a time more than ever where we can be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, I think it's likely that we are in the end times. I think things are pummeling, are just propelling toward an end. I really do. So I think it behooves us to be right in our relationship with God. But it also behooves us to be praying for those in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us to. Please pray again for those missionaries we've got there. Okay, so Paul reasons in the synagogues until they simply do not want him or his message. The Bible says they oppose themselves. And that Greek word is antitasomahi. Antitasomahi. It means they raged one against the other. They opposed him. They stood against him. They were in opposition. They blasphemed. And that word blasphemed is the Greek word blasphemeo, and it means to speak impiously or impiously. Impiously, to blaspheme, to defame, to rail on Paul. Now, was Paul perfect?
No.
But the people didn't like the message that Paul was bringing to their souls. And so they defamed him. They railed on him. They blasphemed. So Paul shakes his garments. He says, fine. I'm free from the obligation to try to care for your soul. I am free from that concern. Folks, there will be people who will attempt to rail on your leadership, on your pastors. There will be those who will attempt to do that. Now, let me ask you, what should you do? Pray for their souls. Pray for us. Love them enough to always put your finger in your ears, never listen to the gossip, and say, you need to go back to the person you're offended at. This is 101, Christianity 101, right? Basics of Christianity. How do you deal with problems? You go to the person you've got the problem with. If Ken in this room has a problem with me, will it do any good for Molly to come and talk to me about that problem? She probably doesn't know what the problem is. What does good is if Ken comes and talks to me. And that's how you make fast your friends and family in the body of Christ. Right? All right, so let's continue. Let's take a look and see what the Scripture says. Paul is saying in this section of Scripture, you are responsible for your own choices and for your own sinful attitudes. Got to own up to your own sin. Amen? You can't come to the altar this morning and say, I repent for Pastor Kevin's sin. You might want to. Come on up. You got to face your own, don't you? Sure. Before God, you got to face your own attitudes. Each of us is responsible for our decisions, must face God. If you, whatever the sin might be, if you are an abuser, if you are a sexual abuser, can sexual abusers be forgiven? Absolutely. How about if you beat people or hurt people? How about if you're a drunkard? How about if drunkards can be forgiven, amen, and delivered? Amen. How about if you are a drug taker? Can you be forgiven? Of course. How about if you're a backbiter, a gossip, you sowed seeds of discord? Can you be forgiven? Absolutely. And tell me, church, any one of those sins worse than the others? Jesus died for every one of those sins, didn't he? But to not face up to the fact that those are sins will never change you. Change happens first in life when you humble yourself to say, Lord, I'm in sin in my attitude. And I need to change. Amen? As your pastor, I have several people who have asked me, speak into my life if you see something. I respect and appreciate that liberty. I try to love you enough. If I do it, I try to do it very straight but sweetly to you. But when I bring a message from the Lord, there's two possibilities of response, aren't there? Get out of my face, Pastor. Or, could this be Jesus? That was uncomfortable. Could this be the Lord? Tell me, which attitude is going to help you grow more? What if I wasn't perfect? Well, cover me in love. Come back and talk to me. But the message from God can still get through to your soul if you respond. Do you know, okay, how many in this room, some people are retired, ever been in business, okay? Come on, raise your hand. Ever been in business or had a job? Let me ask you a question. I should see every hand go up. How many on your job were ever treated badly by anybody, ever? Ever. Now, let me ask you another question. And this is a harder one. After you finished fuming, did you ever discover they were right? Isn't that when it's hard? But did you? Balaam was spoken to by a donkey. Okay? Sometimes the message as it comes may not be perfect. But if you'll stop long enough to say, Jesus, what are you saying to me? You can speak to me even through a donkoid. A donkey. Donkesses.
Oh, well.
The issue of growth in our lives isn't demanding perfection from the corrector, but it is asking of your own self an integrity of heart to say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me, Lord? It's not the teacher, not the preacher, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I didn't like that message. I didn't like the messenger. But oh God, what's the message you want to get through to my soul for my own growth? Is it biblical? Sure. Christianity isn't always easy. Christianity isn't for the gutless, you know. I'm serious. You want to just be mamby-pamby, patted on the head all the time, told how sweetie you are all the time. You don't want to be in Christianity. Because Jesus Christ loves you and so do we, but it's not always that way when growth is going to come. Hey, how many of you ever disciplined your children growing up? Come on. How many ever did this? Well, some of you not willing to admit it. Oh, guess my kid's only perfect. Ever have a neighbor say anything to your kid? But they were right? Not easy, is it? Christianity is not for the gutless. It's not for those with lack of integrity who don't want to deal with the reality of their life. Christianity is not for those that don't want to look into the Word of God and refuse change. Christianity is a process of change. Change me, O Lord, so I can be more like you. Christianity is not all about circling camps and my group against your group. Christianity is not about, oh, don't you dare say anything bad to me or I'll get all my friends against you. Yes, I will. That's not Christianity. That's anathema in the body of Christ. Say amen. Amen. Or oh no. Integrity says, if you got a problem, you go to the person you got the problem. You go to somebody else, you're in sin. And you need to repent. Integrity says, I don't listen to my brother's ought against you. I don't listen to it all and then say, you know, you should go to him after they've shared it all. Right in the beginning of the process, I say, you better go to your brother. I'm sorry, I can't listen to that. Now, how many want to live Christianity? Come on, let's see the hands. How many want to live Christianity? He pressured us. No, it's not for the gutless. Listen, Paul was proclaiming a gospel in the midst of a hedonistic, demonic society that wanted little to do with change. They wanted a lot to do with living life their own way. They wanted a lot to do with doing what was right in their own eyes. They wanted a lot to do with saying, I want to worship every God. I don't want to be confronted. I don't want to change. Paul said, fine. You don't want me to care for your soul? You're on your own. Anybody can come here. Not everybody needs me as their pastor. Pastor Sherry is their pastor. No problem. Everybody's welcome. But if you want me to care for your soul, I'll do that with care and concern. And the Bible says we will watch over your souls. And the Bible says, remember what the Bible says about pastors? Pray for them as they watch over your souls. That they may do that with what? Joy. Not with grief of heart. Right? So we do that for each other in the body of Christ. All right. So he reasons in the synagogues. They blaspheme. They oppose themselves. He says, fine. You're on your own. I've had people who don't like the way I pray, don't like the way I counsel. I didn't pray in time or on time or the way they desired. But I do my best before God and before you with integrity to do what God has called me to do. And you need to continue to pray that I will have the courage to do so. Amen? Church, there are a lot of people who want to compromise their way through life. And I dare say that compromise will end up with a powerless gospel. That doesn't mean I try to shove Jesus down the neck of somebody. But I am not interested in a powerless gospel. I'm interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes our lives so we can be more like Him and please Him. Amen? Strong preaching, Pastor Kev. What's God saying to me? When the correction comes into my life, these people didn't want Paul. So Paul says, okay, from now on, I'll go to those who are hungry, who are thirsty, who see that they're needy. If you don't want my ministry, if you don't want Pastor Sherry's ministry, you don't want our ministry, fine, you're welcome here. But we will minister to those who are hungry, needy, and thirsty who want to grow in Christ. Amen? Amen. That's why we do as we build a church. Number two, so they were on their own. Number two, God gives Paul hungry people. Let's go back to the scriptures. Acts 18, verses 7 through 11. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. God give us hungry people. Pack the church out with hungry people. Let people come who want teaching, who want life, who want someone to say it to them straight and speak into my life and help me grow, encourage me on the road. God, give us hungry people at Grace Christian Center. God, give us revival in this region where people see their need for you, where people want Jesus more than their comfort zone. Church, I'll tell you something. If you want to live life for your comfort zone, you're going to get zoned out. Comfort zone living is an appeasement kind of living. Just leave me alone. I'll do what's right in my own eyes. The Bible says those who are committed to living what's right in their own eyes end up empty. The wheat and the tares grew up in the fields together. They could not tear the tares out lest it destroy the wheat. You remember the scripture? But you know what a tear is? An empty-headed kernel. No fruit. The farmer works with the field, prunes the trees, puts fertilizer in the crops, works hard. Is it always easy work? I like being the tree that's getting pruned. Ever been pruned? Lord, I like this part of my life. Chop, chop, oh! You're not supposed to do that anymore.
What do you mean I'm not supposed to do that anymore? I'm free.
Yeah, yeah, okay, fine. Go right ahead and do that. But those, Ralph can tell you, those things that go shooting off, all they do is take nutrients from the branches that should be growing well on that tree. So you cut those things off of your life to say, Jesus, okay, deal with me. Though I thought this was great and I was right, Lord, change me so I'm a healthy tree. Big trunk. Healthy tree. It's not always easy. But God brought hungry people to Paul. He finds an open door, next door. Justice was a worshiper, a God-fearer. We've talked before about the God-fearers in the body at that time, who worshiped God. Sobamahi, to revere and adore. Sobamahi, revere, adore. He was an adorer of God. Interestingly, the Jews dispute, but their ruler of the synagogue believed. Isn't that a neat statement? God did that. Found a hungry heart in that man. That was the director of their synagogue services. So the people didn't want anything to do with Paul, but the leader of the synagogue did. How much comfort zone do you think that leader of the synagogue was left in? Think about it. You know, his people didn't want anything to do with Paul, so Paul left him. The leader of the synagogue said, I'm sorry, folks, I'm leaving you. I want Paul. He's got truth. That must not have been easy. He met God and moved out of his comfort zone. And so God speaks to Paul and he says, fear not. Fear not. Don't be frightened. Don't be alarmed. Paul, I want you to stay the course. But God, it's not easy. These people don't like it if I speak into their lives. They don't like it if I say something hard. They don't like it if I say something that confronts their comfort zone. God says, Paul, hang in there. Stay the course. I'm going to gather hungry people who are more interested in growth than in their comfort. Church, are you interested in growing? Well, let's see how, as God comforted Paul with his word, let's see what he got for it. So God says, listen, God's got a great sense of humor. I don't always see it as humorous. I don't know if you do. But God says, fear not, Paul. Stay the course. You're doing the right thing. Keep speaking it. Next thing Paul gets, okay, Lord, I'll stay the course. Next thing he gets, trouble. Let's take a look. Paul continues to lead, continues to guide, continues to further and father and mentor the church, those that wanted growth. But then we come to an eye-opening incident, beginning in verse 12. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul. They brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be a reason why I should bear with you. But if it's a matter of words, names, your own law, look to it yourself. I don't want to be a judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Now, I want to tell you, frankly, when you go to the Word of God, Bible study happens on several different levels. When you go to the Word of God, if you go with integrity, first of all, the level you go on is the natural level. You take a look at what's happening in the setting. What's the historic issues? What's happening culturally? And what is the straightforward approach? You don't always need to spiritualize away a Scripture when it's a straightforward command of God or a word from the Scripture that you know God wants you to live. If the Bible says, don't hate your brother, you don't have to spend all day spiritualizing that away. Well, you know, that means that I could have an attitude just sort of not as bad as that other. Just understand, don't hate your brother. Amen? Amen? Oh, okay. So just take it straightforward. So there's the natural perspective. Next, when you look at Bible study, you look for the spiritual truth. So there's the natural, and then there's the spiritual. You dig, you study. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved. Right? Study. Dig it out. Search it. You know, it's the honor of kings to search out a matter, the Bible says. God's concealed some matters, it says in the Proverbs, and it's the honor of kings to search it out. Am I looking at kings and priests of God here this morning? That's what the book of Revelation identifies you at. Kings and priests to your God. So we search out some scriptures and see what the truth is. We pray and ask God for insight. Thirdly, so first natural, second spiritual. Thirdly, you personalize it. What is God saying to me? All right, what are the issues Paul's facing right here? Number one, Christianity is a religion contrary to the law. That's what's happening. That's their beef against Paul when they go to Galileo. The Romans had been treating Christianity as an offshoot or a portion of Jewishness, of the Hebrews. So they were called a licit, not an illicit, but a licit religion. That means they were legitimate. Remember, we spent a lot of time talking about Pax Romana. What is Pax Romana? The peace of Rome. And so a legitimate or a licit religion was protected under the auspices of the peace of Rome. And so far, so good, Christianity had been included as a legal activity. Now, the charge here is a phony charge, but they didn't like what Paul said to them. They didn't like Paul and his strong ministry. They didn't like their comfort zone challenged. So they bring an accusation against him. They want to deal with him. But do you understand, Gallio was a proconsul, and he was the Roman leader, the governor of Achaia. His determination could have set precedence for how Christianity was seen and treated across the land. So there's a big thing at stake here in this section of Scripture. I hope this isn't boring to you, but that's literally what was happening here. It was crucial, the determination. Gallio was also a brother of Seneca, who was a philosopher who had great influence in Rome. Sometimes you'll hear about Seneca. All right, that's natural. Spiritually, what was happening here? They're never going to stop arguing against Paul. They just don't like him. Whether it's his personality, his directness, whatever it is, they don't like the message Paul is sending because it requires change in their life. If I don't like being required to change, and Jesus requires us to change, I am going to find lots of reasons to pot shot at the one who is telling me about the change that's necessary. It's just easy preaching. But it's true. I can't protect you from the truth. I have to protect you against demonic forces that would twist hearts and twist minds and lead you into deception. They twisted the argument, and what did they do? They tried to gather others into the fight against Paul. They didn't like what he said, so they gather others. You know what you get? Strength in numbers, right? Strength in numbers. Ever did that? Ever had that? Come on, don't look so pious, of course. You know, if I don't like what my boss is doing, maybe I can find five or six others on staff who don't like it either. Okay? In Christianity, is that the way you do it? Come on, church.
No.
No, it's not. Confrontation will make you uncomfortable. Does that mean it's wrong? No. You either shoot the messenger or receive the message. Right? Come on, you can flow with me and talk to me. You can breathe. I face this in my own life too. You either shoot the messenger or you say, thank God my pastor was willing to say something to me. Thank God he may not be perfect, she may not be perfect, but thank God they were willing to allow me to be a little bit uncomfortable right then, even though I may not have liked it, because Jesus, it does something in my life. What are you trying to say to me? Do you know, no matter what the oversight is, if you have a right spirit, God can speak to you and hold on to you. All right? Gallio refuses to hear it. What's happening in the natural? Thankfully, his decision was Pax Romana would continue to extend its border and its garments of protection over Christianity. It's still illicit religion. This ruling of Gallio's allowed that protection to continue. Spiritually, what was happening? Gallio did not listen to the garbage against Paul. You need to not listen against garbage. You need to not listen to the garbage that people want to say against one another. Don't listen to the garbage people want to say against me, Pastor Sherry, your spiritual leaders, or the family of Christ. Don't listen to it. Amen? Don't listen to it. There's a Bible way of handling it. Does that mean we're perfect and we're always going to get along? No, it doesn't. But how do you deal with it? You don't deal with it the way the world deals with it. You don't deal with it the way churchianity deals with it. Because a million people may have complained to Moses, didn't make them right. Did it? Now, how does this kind of problem happen in the body of Christ? How many of you know problems happen one person at a time? Let me see a show of hands. You know that. Happens one at a time. But I'm going to reinforce, what does the Bible teach? When somebody gets offended, instead of going biblically to the brother or sister, the Bible says, tell him or her their fault between you and them if you are offended. But instead of doing that, people go gather up somebody else. You know, that person's a creep. Pastor Kevin's gaining weight, too. Did you see that? He's got flabs instead of abs. Have you seen that? Pretty soon, you know what happens? Pretty soon, even little things get thrown in. Because when a critical spirit gets involved, pretty soon every little thing that's not a major gets thrown in. You know, every now and then, he sings off key. And doggone, that guitar just is hard to get in tune, isn't it? Only a few of us would know that. If you ever think my guitar's out of tune, I can tell you very faithfully that sometimes I do feel like bashing it against a rock. Yes, I do. They're sometimes frustrating. Okay. But what happens is people start throwing in the little stuff, too. And look at his hair. Not nice. And sometimes it's too long. Listen, I'm trying to make this a little bit funny, but it's true. It's how problems start. Did you see what happened? Yeah, and you should have heard what happened before. Oh, well, let me tell you. And pretty soon you're bringing up stuff that happened a year ago. And oh my gosh, let me tell you about the one that happened 2 years ago. You know why? Because you didn't go biblically to the person right when you had the problem. You either cover them in love and forget about it, or you go and get things right. You don't go get a crowd around you. That's wicked. That's gossip. And when you get a crowd around you, you become a backbiter, and you know what else you've done? You've just joined them in your sin. You've just made your brother a sinner as well. How's that feel? How many in this room want to make others stumble and be in sin? I'd like my brother to be in sin with me. It's more comfortable there. No, folks, that's sin. You don't do it that way. The Bible says you go. Look, I love you guys, but every now and then, I'm sure every now and then, I get offensive. I don't try to. Sometimes my life's pretty full. I don't try to. But if I do, come and see me. I don't expect you to go get a crowd. It happens like that in churches. It won't happen like that here. I'm telling you. It won't happen like that here. Because if you get a crowd and somebody else comes and sees me about your offense, or a crowd comes and sees me about your offense and you weren't involved, I will know there's backbite, there's gossip, there's bitterness going on in the camp, and somebody else, you've caused somebody else to join in your sin. And I will love you enough. The Bible says if you will not repent of that sin, the Bible finally says you mark such a one. Because they are creating disharmony and dissension in the body of Christ. And God's interested in a clean camp. I'm serious. Say no or amen. If I got people coming to me about somebody's third offense down the block, and somebody's with the third offense down the block didn't come to me, I know they went to you and not to me, and that's sin. Why do you want to make, would you want to make somebody else a part of your sin? And you know how it works? Dottie. See what Nancy did? 9 times out of 10, she didn't see what Nancy did. And if I did, I get to be the one to go to Nancy. Or Nancy goes, Dottie, did you see what Kevin did? And Dottie said, no, I didn't see what he did, but I can imagine. No, that's sin. Why would Nancy want to make Dottie a part of her sin? Why would Dottie want to make Nancy? Now, this hasn't happened. I'm just using illustrations, all right? Let me use me, okay? Why would I want to make you part of my sin? What I want is to get rid of sin. Because sin destroys the church. And I don't care if that's the way it's done in churchianity. That still doesn't make it right. Are you breathing? Bible says, go to the one. Gossip is sin. We love all sinners. How do you handle Lot? Let's just do it real straight. Okay? Let's go through this. How do you handle Lot? First of all, you got person A, person B. I didn't want you to see them. I didn't want you to know who they were. Okay, let's rehearse. Let's rehearse, okay? This is not a happy person. This person, who probably did something to offend this person, they're usually happy. They don't know they did it. Most of the time. All right? Now, what does person A do? Biblically, person A believes the best of person B. Cover them in love. They didn't mean to hurt me. Maybe I did do something to frustrate them. Soften your own spirit long enough to say, Lord, is there something in me you're trying to deal with? Man, that was a little growly. Did I do something I shouldn't have? Change me. And then this person, Bible, goes back to this person and says, wipe that smile off your face. No, they don't do it that way. So that hurt. Listen, I can recognize with integrity. I didn't handle myself right, and I appreciate that. That hurt, but I'm going to take this thing to prayer. I want our relationship to be right. Come on, let's work it out. If this person instead of that says, oh no, can't talk to my pastor, it's terrifying. Pastor Kevin is literally terrifying. I cannot talk to him. Pastor Sherry, Pastor Kevin, you just can't talk to them. That's garbage. It's garbage. My personality may not always be pleasant. I can't promise you that. But I will promise you that we love you. And that we care for you. Folks, we haven't been here for 5 years with you, hardly making a penny just because we're trying to get rich. I don't mean that weird. You understand what I'm saying? We're not here doing all this as your other leaders in the church. We're not here doing this just for the sake of working hard. We're here because we love you and love Jesus. So there's a bottom line knowledge that we love you. All right? But what happens is this person goes to this person, goes to this person. And these people weren't even witnesses to this. But here's what happens. This person... You know what happens? Dumps it out. Even if it's only one person. Goes and dumps it out. Let me show you what the faces are like. Here's this person now. This person who's dumped it out is coming back to normal. Let me show you what this person's like. Because this person's a jerk. That is third party ought, and it's ungodly, it's wicked, and it's gossip, and it's backbiting. Do you know the worst kind of ought in the body of Christ? Third party ought. I wasn't there, didn't see it. I can imagine it. But you know what? That's just terrible. And you know something? That has nothing to do with the fact that God might be dealing with that person. Maybe that person's been a backbiter and a gossip. Maybe that person needed a firm word spoken to their heart to receive a degree of responsibility that they're not facing in their life. Maybe that person disapproves of everything this person does. And the only way to get it worked out is to go back to this person. But this person feels better because I don't need to go to this person anymore because I dumped it off on you. All right, let's make this real. Husbands and wives on a job. Guys, this is a chauvinistic way of looking at it. I could reverse it. Okay, I understand this. But guys, did you ever carry home the tale, my boss is a jerk? Come on, be honest with me. My boss, you can't believe what my boss did. How's the wife get, guys? It's okay. You can talk to me. How's the wife get? Like a she-bear. Right? Did what? Said what? And then pretty soon you feel like you're in the hot seat. You need to go back and say this to that person. Well, back off, honey. I got to work there. But then after a while, you've emptied out your heart, so you're smiling again. And your wife's still like this. And 3 weeks later, you come home and you say, honey, let's have the boss over for dinner. Excuse me? Ain't no way we're having that boss over for dinner. You know why? Because this person cleared their ought sinfully by dumping it on a person who's now miserable and full of third-party ought. And this person's just fine now. The other way not to handle it? This person, instead of going back here, goes and finds somebody, dumps it out, and dumps it out, and dumps it out, and shares the tale. And then this person's now full of fury, but finally does what they think is the biblical thing after hearing the whole gossip. The Bible calls them tale bearers. Ever heard the word? Come on. Ever heard the word? Okay. All right. I know this isn't fun, but this is Christianity. Here's the whole tale. And then says, well, now after you've told me all, you know, you need to go back to this person. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you don't even listen to this story. You say, I'm sorry. I love you. And I will pray for you. But this is where you go. That's what the Bible says. I'm not going to become this person. I believe the best for both of you. And I love the family of God. And I'm going to pray for you while you go get that right. I can tell you very honestly, there have been people in our midst who have gone to person, to person, to person, to person, to person, to person, to person. And I've had to put out little fires instead of that person coming right back biblically. And church, we're going to go over this and over this and over this until we understand that you don't even listen to it. You love the person enough to tell them the truth. Go back to the person you have ought with. I can't even hear the story. I'm sorry you're hurting. You know I'll pray for you, and you know your pastors love you, or whoever it is. We're in a family that loves you. That's the way the Bible says. You get it right. Oh, no, can't go to that person. Are you a prophet? You're going to tell me how that person's going to respond to you? Oh, they're going to respond terrible. There's no way of getting through. Oh, I see. You're a prophet now. No, that's not even fair. And sometimes, this person and this person, usually what happens? As soon as they're is an acknowledgement together of an issue. 99% of the problems that happen in the body of Christ happen as simple under-communication issues. You get the communication cleared up. You get the past oughts cleared up. And the body goes on like this. Loving Jesus and loving each other. Gallio said, I won't even listen to it. Gallio, though not saved, was more biblical in how he handled it than a lot of Christians in handling ought. Does that make sense, church? So let's see as we close. Don't gossip. Don't listen to gossip. You become a part of that gossip. Now let's talk about one final statement, and I don't mean this with any meanness of spirit, but I want you to see what happens in the Scripture. It's honestly kind of humorous, if you'll take a look at it. And the statement is this. And I'm going to put it toward me personally. But you've heard the old statement of having pastor for lunch. Oh, well, it's happened a lot in the body of Christ. You know, it's been around forever. You go home and you rip the pastor apart because he spoke too long this morning. And, you know, and other things. I want you to know, walk lightly before God toward your spiritual leaders. That doesn't mean we never make a mistake. Pray for us. Know that we love you. Pray for us. We have a different calling. and a responsibility to love you enough to tell you the truth even when it's not comfortable. But I want you to know something. Be careful. If you decide it's fine to have pastor for lunch, God might just have you for dinner. Or for snacks. We wouldn't be a very big dinner for God. I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I don't care what they do in other churches. I want us to be biblical together. If you decide you want to have pastors for lunch, you might just be God's dinner snack. And let's see it in the Scripture, and I'll show you what I mean, so we can all avoid it. You go biblically to one another, so we avoid all of this. You don't listen to the tales. You don't allow a talebearer to be a talebearer. You close it off with compassion and love. Say, I'll pray for you. I won't even listen to the story. You go back to the person with whom you have ought. And church, if we will walk that way, we will walk with integrity before God according to the Scriptures. How many want to walk biblically? Acts 18, verse 17. If you insist on having pastor for lunch, God might allow you to be the entree for dinner. Verse 17, then all the Greeks, look at this, guys. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took notice of those things. No notice of those things. All right, look, folks, all the Jews brought Paul with all these accusations before Gallio. Come on, do something with this guy. I don't like this guy. You got big numbers. This guy's a creep. He said it wrong. He's making me uncomfortable. Come on, get Paul. Gallio, biblically, though not saved, says, I'm not even going to listen to this garbage. You deal with it. So the people that wanted to eat Paul alive got beat up instead. The Greeks turned on the Jews and beat them up. Church, there is a truth. We love each other with compassion, but there is a truth. What you sow, you reap. The people that come to you with tales and that will tale bear against someone else to you, I want you to watch out. If you enter into their sin with them, and the Bible says in 2 Timothy, do not be a partaker of another man's sin. Keep yourself clean, the Bible says. If you have been a partaker of another man's sin, you need to repent before God. Lord, make us clean as a people before you. Don't touch it. Because the people that talebear to you now, if they don't repent, it's a spirit inside, they will be talebearing about you next. Truth is truth, isn't it? If they're not doing it about you now, but to you, about someone else, it'll be about you in a little while. That's why we all need to be clean before God. Don't listen to it. If you really want to help the brother or sister toward whom you are feeling good compassion because they're hurting, you will help them by not listening and by saying, I'm sorry, I love you too much to partake in your sin and to allow you to sin further. I love you. Go back to the person with whom you have that ought. Now, if you have been to that person, the Bible doesn't require us all to be best friends, but if you have been to that person, and there is no restoration, and you've legitimately been to them, and there's still ought, that's when you involve us as oversight. And I'll pray for you, and I'll help you. But if you refuse to go to that person biblically, and if you enter into other people's sins, I'll tell you this much, and I'm going to say it to you straight. I'll love you, but I will not coddle you in your sin. That's my responsibility before God. So, let us grow together in God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right? Now, we all can repent and we all can walk better before God. Does anybody think there might be room for each of us to grow? Okay? Michael, you have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. I don't know if it's proper.
Come and ask me afterwards.
Okay.
Ask me afterwards.
Let's assume that somebody offended me.
Yes.
They got into my face. Maybe I didn't like it. But without going to them, I came to you saying, this guy told me that. Is he right?
Yeah, I can understand that. I will, as a pastor, listen to you, pray for you, and if I can bring some confirmation or whatever, I will minister to you, but I will still send you back to that person. It'll depend, Michael, on your spirit. You see what I'm saying? It's a good question. What do I do if somebody comes, gets into my face, and I don't know if that's true, and I come to you as a pastor and say, is that true? Okay? Number one, there are two things on the table, relationship and issue. All right? Issue may not be able to be fully resolved. Relationship always can, if we have two willing people. Okay? If we're in the same family. Does that make sense to you? Relationship in the body can get solved. Issue may not always be. That's where if you follow through on Matthew 18, the way it works is you go one-on-one to your brother. And if there were no other witnesses to the sin that took place, you don't go get three other people, four other people to gather against it. You have to cover each other in love, commit your relationship before God, and go on with a disagreement, disagreeing agreeably. Okay? But you always go one-on-one. Yep. That's where you go really carefully. But if you're in a situation with a boss where you're being abused emotionally by a boss or something like that, you have every legitimate right to go to that boss with your ought, your hurt, and your offense and say, that's just not true. I can't guarantee you won't lose that job. But God will cover you. And that's where you have to make that decision. I can only guide you, and you make the decision that's appropriate for you. But if you are being emotionally abused, or especially if you're ever thinking you're getting close to being physically abused, you don't need that job anyway. God will give you another one. Okay? Are there any other questions? I know this is a tough issue, and we all face it. But we want to be clean before God as the family of God. Amen? Let's stand together. Listen to that verse, 1 Timothy 5:22, out of the Message Bible. Listen to this. If a person is involved in some serious sins, you don't want to become an unwitting accomplice. In any event, keep a close check on yourself. We don't want to be unwitting accomplices to further sin. We want to strengthen each other in the family of God. And we want to help bring strength and deliverance. Corinth Crusades, building God's church, God's way. Would you hold your Bible up to your chest, up to your heart, please? Father, our desire today is to please you according to the Word of God. Our desire is to be the people you want us to be. Our desire is to live the way you want us to live. Now bless these precious people here this morning. And where there are issues of repentance, let there be a sincere repentance that takes place. But Father, above all, we come to you to present ourselves to you to live biblically as the people you want us to be. We love you. We thank you. And we pray your blessed presence in precious ways upon the people that have gathered in your house. In Jesus' name, amen.